on the call, I heard Lamar, Takao, Nishit, Jim, Jody, Steve, Naoki. Did I miss anyone? Okay. We also have an Adobe Connect room where we'll continue discussing the draft data. So you can scroll in the scroll for the data model yourself. But for that, Jim, let me hand the call over to you.
Thank you. So let me just comment quickly with respect to the translation and transliteration PDP working group, which normally meets on Thursday. Last Thursday, I made an ask of the group to see if they would comment on our interim report in any way, and in particular would comment on the address options. So I guess the thing to say is, you know, it's a PDP working group, so they operate and function rather formally. And in that sense, the answer that I got was a fairly formal response of, well, it really would not be possible for them to draft and submit a comment and an opinion with respect to the question on the options for the postal address or any of the questions that were in the interim report at all, because that would be tantamount to them finishing their work altogether, so that, you know, before they could actually respond as a group and have a group consensus position. So although they certainly appreciate the work that we've done and we have certainly added to their discussions and provided them a lot of useful information, we're not going to get any comments from them, which is kind of unfortunate. So we're at some point going to have to deal with that too, I guess. I'm fairly certain that we're probably going to come to a concluding point before they will. And our questions about translation and transliteration, I guess we'll have to discuss at some point in time exactly how to deal with those and what we want to do about their position. So I wanted to just put that out there and ask if there's any comments or questions about that from anyone. Okay, and hearing nothing. I am concerned once again. I said this, we ended up not having a meeting last time. We didn't get a quorum, although we had a bit of a very nice discussion about some issues, just an ad hoc discussion. But one of the points that I was making before, and I guess I'll just make it here again, I am concerned that we're kind of at a sticking point here, because I do think it's important that we resolve this issue about postal address, and I'm a little concerned that we're not getting any additional community input. So that's a question that we're going to have to figure out a way to resolve, and I'm concerned we're going to have to resolve it without any additional insight from anyone else. I do have a bias that we come to a resolution. I, you know, absolutely do not want to issue a report which does not have a single proposal and some rationale for it. You know, obviously I have my own bias about which one we pick, but more important than the one that we choose is the fact that we choose one. And I really just want to put that out there to this group here. My concern is I was co-chair of the last group that was looking at internationalized registration data, what was called the IRD Working Group, I guess 3 years ago now almost. And we left this question open then. And at the time we left it open because, from my point of view, we didn't have the right people in the room. We just did not have the right set of people that we needed in order to have a really good discussion about what was appropriate. I'm much more hopeful that we have the right set of people here, or at least a good representative sample of people. And with that, I think that, you know, we have to come to some closure and find a way to get through this. So that to me is a really significant question that's in front of us. I'm not aware that we have anything else which is very, very compelling. We still have some things to talk about. I'd be interested in people commenting if they can identify anything in particular that concerns them about this data model that we have that Steve very nicely drafted together for us. If anybody else has any significant standing issues about the data model other than the address issue. And if anyone has any comments about the address issue, I'd appreciate that too. So I guess that's two questions. Let's see who picks up first. Silence. I know people care. Somebody want to at least say they agree with the questions? I'm not alone, am I?
Jim, this is Armand. I can maybe make a comment.
Yes, please, Armand. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm actually also involved in this study which is looking at translation and translation kind of solutions. And one of the things which actually is probably coming out as a major source of inaccuracy in that process is the order in which address keys are given in various languages. So, for example, in Chinese, normally you get high-level information and then lower-level information, whereas in English addresses, you get low-level information, so a part number and so on, and then higher-level information, which includes the area or the district and things like that. I understand, this is again general thinking right now, for data to be, if we make the data perhaps address fields more granular, those sequence information or sequence issues start getting addressed. Currently, the address fields are generally generic, just say address 1, address 2 kind of thing. And that allows people to sort of decide on their own what they need to put in address 1 field. So, for example, in many cases, I would just put my whole address in address 1 field if existed and leave address 2 blank and so on. So I'm just looking at the sources of inaccuracy arising from translation kind of data when we are comparing across languages. One of the things which was coming to my mind was there a way to manage this maybe in some sectors that are more constrained within the structure.
Okay, Somad, thank you. Let me try to say this back. I still struggle with understanding you. Your microphone is always seems so so blurred or something. But I think you're bringing up a new issue. You're actually bringing up two issues, I believe. So one is you were talking about the sequencing of address elements, and you're suggesting that we might want to say something about that. In particular, you were observing that in Chinese, address elements are normally presented in a less specific to more specific way. And then in American, in English, for example, they're typically presented in a more specific to less specific way. So address 1, address 2, city and state versus the opposite for Chinese. I think that was one thing that you were describing. So sequencing... And I confess I lost track now of what the second thing was. Steve, did you catch it, or should we ask Sarma to repeat it?
Go ahead, Steve.
No, go ahead, Sarma. I was not able to catch it. Yeah.
Okay, so another, so what I'm saying is that, first of all, is there a way to manage that? Because that has a very direct impact on quality of transliteration or translation of data.
Oh, so is there a way to manage the sequencing, because it will affect translation and transliteration? That's what you're asking?
Yes.
So let me ask a related question. I don't really have any direct experience with this, so I would think that, as I think about this in the form of a technical problem, well, with translation and transliteration, context is everything. You always need to know what context you're in, starting with knowing the language that you're working with, knowing the script that's in use. Sometimes you can intuit those things. You would need to know that you're dealing with an address. And I would think if you know that you're dealing with an address, you would then know how to interpret it, to translate and transliterate it. So you would know which order the elements are in or should be in. I mean, wouldn't that be true or not?
So I actually, though we've not released the report yet, but eventually we will. And one of the things which we observe is the tools which we are testing show that that is not the case. So there is no reorganization of data in the tools which automatically do something like this. Or even when there is reorganization of data, because of such significant reorganization needed, especially if the address is very long, those tools start failing in their accuracy of doing it.
Okay, so the tools that are in use today don't properly reorganize. They just don't, and you highlighted a couple of things. They either get confused because the address is too complicated, or they just, you know, outright make mistakes because they don't recognize what they're really dealing with. Is that correct?
Yes.
Do you have a suggestion for what you think we should say about that? I mean, I guess I agree that that's a translation and transliteration issue, but I'm not sure what kind of requirement, or suggestion that we would make about that.
So basically what I was saying was that currently we have a very generic thing like address 1 and address 2, but we don't really suggest what should go in address 1 and address 2. And if two people are maybe typing the same address, one person may write whole thing in address 1 field, another person will arbitrarily break that in address 1 and address 2 field, and so on. So, you know, I don't have a solution at this time, but, you know, this is a problem which is at least getting highlighted from the tools we are testing, that if this thing is maybe managed a little better somehow, the accuracy of these tools gets significantly enhanced.
I see. So given that we don't actually state precisely in some cases what should go in postal address fields, and you're highlighting address 1 and address 2, the accuracy of the tools varies, because they will make mistakes because two people will enter their address in, even if they have the same address, they might enter it in two different ways, and that would be valid from an input point of view. But is there something we can do about talking about what content belongs in address 1 and address 2? Because that would improve the accuracy of translation and transliteration tools.
Yes, something to that effect.
So let me make the problem even more complicated. One thing that I have not looked at, but, you know, I've only looked at summaries because I guess you have to pay for these things, is the UPU documents, and I wonder if you've looked at them in detail. I always like to fall back on this idea that, you know, countries are allowed to specify for themselves what they want addresses to look like. I mean, is there actually a uniform idea across the globe as to what would go in address 1 and address line 2? Or, you know, are different countries and regions allowed to say different things?
So, again, this is Ahmed. I would imagine it would be arbitrary and different for countries, but if somehow we can, you know, suggest people to divide up the address in these fields rather than write it as one long string in the single field. So instead of using just address 1, if you can divide it up into address 1, address 2, address 3, somehow labeling them better, that will still improve things as far as transformation is concerned. I'm not really sure what the solution is. As I said, we just doing analysis and we just come up with the problem yet, not a solution. But I'm at least highlighting the problem and maybe we can look at what are possible solutions in this case.
Hello, Jim. This is Dennis for the queue, if I may.
Yes, Dennis, please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry I came late. I have trouble connecting. I'm remote this today. So I'm not sure how this conversation got started about address 1, address 2. In my opinion, without the background, again, I think we are overcomplicating the thing. I see as the address, the whole address, line 1, line 2, city, postal code, country code, as a unit, if you will. And the second thing is that I think we should care, but I don't think we have to overthink that we have to allow or we put ourselves a requirement so that the information that we collect or the register collect, it's subject to translation and transliteration. I think that's that's out of our scope. I think we have to remain true to our charter, which is enable localization. So I'm not sure why we're discussing whether what's going in line 1 of the address line, what goes in line 2, and whether the inputs have to be entered in such a way so that it's easable to ingest or be translated or transliterated.
So just a quick summary. The issue that Sarmad was highlighting is based on his other work in investigating tools for translation and transliteration, right? He's part of the team with that commissioned study by ICANN. He was observing that the lack of requirements for what goes in those address fields has a fairly dramatic effect on translation and transliteration tools. So the way that I interpret that, where I'm coming around to in having this little discussion here with Sarmad, is realizing that, as you say, Dennis, our scope is to worry about facilitating localization, which necessarily implies some translation and transliteration of content. And so the question really to us is specifically, is there something that we can or should say about the address fields in order to improve the accuracy of these tools that do the translation and transliteration, make it possible for them to do that? Sarmad actually noted two details. One was just that the variability of the content has an effect on the accuracy of the tools. The other thing that he noted in the very beginning was whether or not we should say something about sequencing. And this particular example that he gave was, for example, in Chinese, in China, there's generally a preference for putting your address down from less specific to more specific. And that's the way mm-hmm. that you would enter your address information, right? In America, in English, there's a preference for putting your address information from most specific to least specific.
Right, right.
You know, and is there something that we should say about that? He was observing that what they've noticed in the tools, as you expect, you know, context means everything in trying to do translation and transliteration. But, you know, the tools make mistakes. And in fact, the more complicated the address, the more dramatic the mistakes are. And is there something that we can or should say about that within our scope? So sequencing and quality of data, again, comes to bear. And what can or should we say? So having said that, let me ask you if you want to, you know, add to your comment or say something different.
Yes, yes, I would like to add something.
So please go ahead.
So I politely disagree with that we need to care for how the input looks like so that we should be taking into account that the requirements to localize the registration data, so that's one thing, and on top of that we should put a requirement so that the information is subject for a transliteration or translation tool, which we don't know, and as far as I know there is no authoritative bodies that say, for example, Chinese has to be transliterated in this way or Russian has to be transliterated in such way. Just as a proof point or anecdote, if you will, that last week I met with the CTO from Yandex, the search engine, and we were just talking about how names are transliterated. Names are in Russian are transliterated to, Romanized, transliterated to Latin characters, and there are several ways to do that. There is no one single way to transliterate Russian to Latin characters, if you will. Maybe in some cases there are unique one-to-one relationship, but in many cases what I got from him is that there is no standard way to do that. And I think that's same for Arabic languages and other languages in the world. So all I'm saying is that stepping into that subject area, transliteration, I think we are going outside of what we're supposed to do. That's my opinion.
Okay. Let me try to tease apart your comment a little bit. Were you commenting about us putting requirements on the tools or putting requirements on the data input? You seem to suggest both of those things, and I just want to tease that apart a bit, Dennis.
I think the other way around. I think you want to put requirements into the data, how the data is input, right? So it's input in a certain way so that it can be ingested by these translation tools. And what I'm saying is that as far as contact postal information, today we have, RFC 5733 provides a way to collect information in unrestricted character, which is the type LOC, local, right? So local allows you to collect unrestricted UTF-8 characters. So that will meet the requirements, the principle that the user is able to enter contact information in whatever script they choose to do so. So that's one thing. So going beyond that, putting in requirements of registrant, you should enter your address. If you are in this country or this region, you must enter the address in this way. In freeform text fields, that's sort of, I think we're overcomplicating.
I'd like to come in.
Yeah, so Steve, please go ahead.
I apologize for the noise. I was doing some teaching work. I think essentially this is a trade-off here, right? So by further specifying how the address field a registrant will enter, you are adding inconvenience to registrant as well as to the registrar, right? And the benefit of that is more uniform data that could be helpful for translation or transliteration. So I think that's a trade-off here. More or less, it's really a policy question. In this report, or Samart, in your report, what you can do is if you can show, you know, how the accuracy of the translation or transliteration improve if it's altered in that way. And then I think that would enable a more robust policy discussion on whether, you know, that needs to be done, because that has to be weighed against the benefit it has versus the cost that, you know, it's imposed on the registrant and the registrar. And also Dennis mentioned that. I mean, it's, are we really, you know, trying to really specify or stipulate what registrant should or should not do? I mean, that's right. So that's how I see this issue.
Thank you, Steve. I do want to be careful, I think, to separate a few questions here to make sure that we are carefully talking about the right thing. I believe we're all in agreement that we don't want to put requirements on a registrant. A registrant, you know, it should be possible for a registrant to work with what they're most skilled with. I'm going to phrase it that way. We use a phrase like that even in our interim report. So responding a little bit, you know, directly to Dennis, even in what I'm phrasing, I'm actually trying to pose a question. I'm not actually trying to present a particular position, but let me try to rephrase it a little bit differently here. The question in my mind is not about what to impose on a registrant. If anything, it's a question about what we might or might not propose for a registrar in the way that they work with the data they get from a registrant. As I understand Sarmad's question, you know, it's about should we say something about behavior of the form that a registrant enters their data into, and should a registrar, is there anything that they should have to do with respect to sequencing the address data elements? Now, that might be something the registrar does when interacting with a registrant. It might also be something a registrar does just as part of converting the data to an EPP transaction to push up into the registry. I still haven't quite tuned in my own mind exactly what the implementation consequences are of what we might say, because I haven't quite decided even myself what we might say about this. The accuracy, so that's about the sequencing issue. The accuracy issue that Sarmad was raising, again, I didn't interpret that as requirements on the registrant. It's more about recognizing, at least this is just my interpretation, so others may have interpreted it differently, and Sarmad, you may have meant something different than what I'm about to say, so you should probably respond first as to whether or not I've understood correctly the point that you're trying to make. But what I understood was that there really are no requirements about what goes in address line and address line 2. There's a separate requirement about sequencing those things and about their existence. That gets to the sequencing issue. And then underneath that, there's another lower-level requirement about what should actually go in those fields. And there is no uniform rule about what goes in those fields. And because of that, people tend to write their address in different ways. And that's valid from a postal point of view, but it does complicate translation and transliteration tools. It does make it more challenging for them, and they tend to make mistakes. So the question is there something that we can say about what should go in those fields and how they should be used? And I added the extra question to that when Sarmad suggested this about, you know, countries can have their own requirements, right? The UPU standards say that countries can have their own rules, and I kind of wondered, is there even a uniform rule that we could even suggest that would apply globally? Or is this really a question we should highlight for countries of the world to care about if they want translation and transliteration to work effectively? So I'm sorry, I kind of dumped a lot of stuff out there. Let me go back around through Sarmad and Dennis and Steve and see if you want to comment on what I said and then ask others to comment. Sarmad?
I really do, I think, like Dennis's comment about the way this data is ported on the wire between maybe registrar and registry and so on, and not having those requirements on the data, and that it's flat. I guess that's probably something we should think about. I think Jim did a very good summary of what I was saying, and thinking further on it, I think if we divide up the data somehow, if it is possible, I know it's not possible at this time perhaps, but if we can divide up the address field, it I think has probably some positive impact not only on just transliteration and translation accuracy, but eventually probably going to make it even better for the verification or validation of data fields for address, because it just brings more structure. So I actually wanted to add that little bit on top of it, even within the local language, or ASCII for that matter, rather than arbitrarily using that to the user or registrar. So generally, what Jim said really does capture most of what I was saying. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarmad. Dennis?
Yes. Let me put it this way. So our charter is to enable. So basically, we are, and our end user, we're solving this problem for the 3 billion internet users in the world. So they are going to be able to enter their information in the language they choose to. Who's the user of the translation or transliteration information? Who are we solving this for? And why should we care about? Is it lawyers or government agencies? I don't see the average internet user wanting to a transliteration of registration information. Again, I think stepping into translation on translation, I think we're going outside and imposing ourselves into thinking more requirements that may be cumbersome for the players across the DNS ecosystem, put more work into that for very little value.
Okay, thank you. Steve, did you want to add any additional comments?
No, I don't have anything else to add. Thanks.
Could you put me in the queue? This is Takao.
Yes, please, Takao. Go ahead.
I may be the only one, but I'm not totally convinced that we all totally we have all agreed on the purpose of the address, or have we? I'm just having a difficulty of getting to that, because the if we know what the address is for, it seems you know the, we can clearly understand the what it should be. But it's to me, like I just Denise just mentioned, what is this? Is this for customers or lawyers? I don't know if we have all agreed. Sorry.
Okay. Just taking a moment here to collect my thoughts. We have multiple questions on the table here. Steve, I want to make sure that we don't lose track of this here in our notes. We have multiple things. I think we have multiple things in discussion here. So I want to recap them quickly so I can find my way through this discussion to get to what Takao is talking about too. So I asked the question about resolving the three choices for the address field for the postal information and the need to resolve it. Sarmad raised a sequencing question. He also raised a question of is there anything else that we should say about what goes into the address elements? We've raised a scoping question about how far to go in saying anything about the two prior questions, because we certainly don't want to speak to tools or registrant requirements. And now Takao is asking about the purpose of the address. That's five questions, I think. First, let me ask Steve, as the person who's taking notes here, do you agree we have those five questions on the table here?
I think two and three, sequencing and the what goes into the address element, are, I think, two sides of the same question. That is, whether we should specify additional requirements for the address one or address two field. That would include sequence. So I think those two are the same question, but two sides. Just my thinking. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that. I'm fine with that. Anyone else want to comment on the five questions? Are we all in agreement that we now have those five questions or four questions on the table here?
This is Jody for the queue. Jim.
Jody, please go ahead.
I believe that, the fifth question is probably what needs to be answered first before we can continue with the other questions. I guess I'm curious, what do we need out of this field? That's what I'm wondering also. Is the address field for legal purposes, or, well, I'm not sure, I guess. Or is it an address so that the customer can receive postal mail at this address? I'm not sure. I guess I'd like to discuss that further.
Okay, so thank you, Jody. I have an answer, which I guess is just my view, obviously, on what the purpose of the address field is. The way I perceive our work And so maybe this is the question that we should be answering here. Even in the interim report, one of the things that we proposed was to talk about categories of data elements in order to talk about requirements. And so we have here a category of contact information. And now it's a case of we're developing the data model, so we're getting into some of the specifics about what the contact information looks like. But going back up to the category of contact information, we're actually not answering the question of what specifically the contact information is for. We're actually putting out there the idea that if contact information is needed for whatever its purpose, these are the requirements in the contact information, and this is what the data model looks like for it to support that. The purpose of the registration data is a question that's being answered by the Directory Services Expert Working Group. And it has made statements in its interim reports, and we're expecting its final report soon. So I would expect that its final report will be available before we're done. That should give us an opportunity to consider known purposes of the contact information. But the thing that I want to be careful of, if we can be in this group, is registration data needs to be extensible. So we should be looking for, as much as possible, the minimum requirements to serve a broad set of purposes. Try not to create requirements that might restrict purposes of the information, since that would cause someone to have to invent another category of information in order to satisfy their specific needs. So having said that, focusing on that last question about what is the purpose of the address field, let's focus on that discussion for the moment here and see if we can close that discussion. Anybody? Does anyone object to my answer? So I'm going to interpret the silence as suggesting that we're in agreement on the purpose of address information at the moment.
I agree with you, Jim. I'd like to discuss what is the purpose of this, of the address information.
Okay, so please go ahead. I was actually thinking the discussion was closed because we know what the purpose is, or as much as we're going to know about it. Please, if you have something you want to ask or say.
Well, I guess my question is, Jim, is what is the purpose of it? Is it actually to be able to deliver a postal piece of mail from one to this address to the registrar?
Okay. At least I agree with that, yes. The purpose of the information is for use in delivery of postal mail. It's contact information from the point of view of a physical piece of postal mail.
Okay, mine was a question. So
I agree. That's what it is.
Okay.
So that's my interpretation of its purpose and its role. A purpose beyond whether it's for a legal reason or, you know, intellectual property reason or something like that. We don't know that specific purpose. It's a functional purpose. That's what we know. The functional purpose is for delivery of postal messages. That's what I think. Sounds like that's what you think. Anyone want to object to that?
Well, mine was a question, so I guess if that's what it's used for, I guess that's what I'd like to know, yes or no. I guess I'm curious what Dennis thinks of that.
Dennis, any comment?
I'm sorry, you were away. Jody, could you repeat the question?
Sure. My question was, what is the purpose of the registrant contact address? I guess my direct question was, is it to be used to deliver a piece of pull mail to the registrant?
From our experience, CommonNet, as you know, is a thin registry, so we actually don't have the information. When we go thick, on the other hand, I think the answer is yes, but it's going to be secondary to the email address. I don't think we will be sent. The first option is to send traditional mail to registrants if we do that, but I think that's the purpose.
Does ICANN agree that that's what the purpose of the contact address is?
Jody, this is Steve. I think how the purpose are defined of the contact information has a long history within ICANN, just to suffice to say. There are various working groups. For example, GNSO in early 2005 spring up working group to determine this exact question, right? And the working group, in a way, reaches consensus and what the purpose is, but GAG, kind of disagrees. So I don't think there is, a final say what is or what are the purposes of the data. What the expert working group is, tasking to come up with this purpose. So I think that's, yes, still to be decided. For our work here, we should take those as almost somewhat given. I mean, I would say to start with one limited purpose and take that as given, because it's I don't think that's a community discussion on what the purpose is, and I don't think it's up for us here to decide what it is. So that's my thought.
Yeah, I want to be a little bit careful about the question that we're asking here to make sure that we're trying to answer, that we're answering the right question. Where right in this case means that you're asking the question that you mean to be asking. From my vantage point, there really are two questions. There's contact information as a category of data elements, which is primarily postal address information, and then there's contact information applied to the purpose of registrant contact address. And then there's the question of what is the purpose of a registrant contact address. Within this group, I believe that we're focused only on the fact that there is a category of information called contact information, and it is comprised of postal address elements. It has the functional purpose of being able to receive a physical postal letter. That's the scope of the discussion that we're having. And when I say scope there, that is the scope of the discussion that I think we are limited to in this working group. Asking about the purpose of registrant contact information is, I don't think, in scope for this group, because that is taking the contact information and everything that we say about it and applying it to a particular purpose, which itself has a purpose. And I think that's what you're asking, Jody.
Now,
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but let me let you comment on that.
I'll let Cal speak here.
Takao, okay, please go ahead.
Yes. So the I'm asking I'm asking this question because if something just needs to be there, and then when we say just that we need to be able to send postal mail to the address, and then that's fine, but then the validity of the address, I just do not know how much we need to confirm that's right or wrong, because if it's written in local script and then we say, yeah, it's free form, we can enter whatever we want, you know, how do we know that it's a valid format that we can reach the register? And then if we may say no, that we don't care, you know, it can be a invalid address, and then if it's invalid, sorry, you know, that's life, you know, that's okay. But if that's something, you know, depending on the purpose, I think the requirement changes. That's why I think it really. I agree that it may not be our charter, but without knowing what it is, I do not know, you know the how the, you know, translate would work with the address, and then what needs to be provided here.
Okay, so if I understand the point that you're making, I just want to play this back here to make sure I'm
sure. Sorry. Yes.
So you're suggesting that there is a binding or a coupling between the quality of the data and the purpose of the data. We need to know what the data is going to be used for somewhat specifically, so more than just that it's used to deliver a postal message, in order to be able to have requirements on, or specify requirements on the quality of the data. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so I mean, as just an example, if I just enter in Japanese, they say, you know, my address is at Tokyo, Japan, and then, you know, if others don't understand, you know, that's the right address or not, you know, and then that may be okay just to, so that, you know, people can guess like where I am, but how does this get validated, you know?
Okay, so the question is how it gets validated if I don't have all of that information. Okay.
Right.
All right, thank you. Jody, did you want to speak? I'm being sensitive to the fact that we're coming up on the top of the hour here.
Sorry about this.
I'm sorry, Jody, did you want to speak?
Jim, I'm a little... You had said that there were three questions before Kyle started to speak, and I'm trying to process those three questions again. What were the three comments that you had made before that?
So I think I said there were five questions. Steve had combined two to make it four questions. Is that what you're referring to?
Not
or
exactly.
We're talking only about in the address thing, to Cal, talking just about the purpose of contact information.
Yeah, I probably should ask the question for Cal. Cal had spoken. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I mean, so let me just try this. I was talking about how what was in scope for us is just the contact information having a functional purpose of postal delivery versus the question of registrant's contact information. That gives a more specific purpose for the contact information, being that it's for a registrant. And there's yet a more specific purpose one can ask about why one would need registrant contact information. And I was trying to separate those three different things in the question that you were asking, Jody, I guess. Is that what you were referring to?
Yeah, I'm still trying to understand that the three points you're trying to make there, the three differences. And I know we're coming up to the top of the hour. Maybe this is a conversation to be done over email. It might be better to get the points out instead of asking to have the questions repeated.
Okay, so fair enough. And, yeah, why don't we use this as an opportunity to wrap this up. I just want to make sure, Steve, that you've got these four questions, one of which has got two parts.
Yeah, I have that.
Okay, and then in the last question of what is the purpose of an address, we're discussing contact information versus registrant contact information versus the purpose of registrant contact information. That's the way I would phrase it. At least that will clue me in into what we're doing. And
could you repeat that? Contact versus contact information versus registrant contact information versus what?
Purpose of registrant contact information.
Purpose of registrant contact information. Okay.
And this is all inside the question of what is the purpose of, you know, the address information that Takao started to ask. Okay. We'll have to carry this on to the mailing list and into next week. If Steve, if you can make sure that you, you know, get a summary out here as soon as you can today of this so that we have those questions.
Sure.
And then,
we'll do that.
We'll
One thing is we don't seem to have any feedback on the data model. So would it be okay if I fold it into the existing document and then for people to comment on, or should I wait? What should I do?
Oh, you mean into our interim report and make it one large document?
Yes. So to maintain one single document forward. Going forward, instead of having two documents?
I don't have a problem with that, but I guess let me ask that we just keep them separate for a little while longer. I think, actually, I'd probably like to keep them separate until the comment period closes and it's clear we're not going to get any comments.
Okay. That's fine, too.
Yeah, we just want to maintain some focus on our data model for the moment and allow us to in our discussions here.
Sure.
Okay. So good. We have some good technical substance here to be focused on, and this is a good thing. We'll continue this on the mailing list, and we'll meet again next week and continue to press on. So let me thank everyone for joining us today. Let me give one question for any other business from anyone. Okay, then Steve, let me hand it back to you to adjourn.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you for joining the call. So the four major issues that facing the work party are, first, resolving the three choices for address field in the interim report. Second, to discuss, is there anything else the work party should or wish to say about the details of the address element. This goes into whether specific breakdowns, further breakdown of the address field, the sequencing of that. And third is the scope of the working group in answering those questions. And the fourth is the purpose of address. And those are really into several sub-questions. The purpose of all of the contact information, purpose of the registrant contact information. So I'll document that on the mailing list and we'll continue to discuss. We'll resume next time, next Wednesday. With that, operator, could you stop the recording?